are 7 minutes after 7 o'clock on a Thursday. And to start the general conversation of the day, it's a very good morning and welcome to Ward Councillor to the rich and famous Privy Makan of the Democratic Alliance. Ward 22 has been certainly very active in communication with anyone that cares to visit social media, radio. It's a credit to you.
Yeah.
But it can't be easy because things are falling apart at the council level, and you know, you are supposedly right there at the stove face watching it all happen. What is happening? Where are we? It's crazy.
Good morning, Dave, and good morning to the listeners of 88 FM. Yeah, it's always great to be on your show and to be given a platform. Yeah, so quite a lot happening in Quadaguza. Obviously, you've been following it. And I think this is a great opportunity for me to unpack it and obviously for our constituents to be better informed in terms of what's happening at the coalface of government, because that's essentially what local government is.
Okay, you know what is of paramount importance right now for anyone that cares to wade into the affairs, shall we say, of state in our beautiful North Coast precinct. We've got electricity problems from hell. It just seems like if it's not Eskom doing load shedding, which they did last night again,
you know,
stage two quickly, and shortly before that, stage three. We've got our own regular. I mean, last night there was a power failure again. Yeah. Imboni, it was the Sharkers Kraal that was.
Correct.
I think it's off today. Or is it back on?
It's back on.
Okay. Yeah. You never know.
Well, I can't keep up anymore.
But it'll be off tomorrow for sure. It's almost a guarantee. What's happening, Priti?
So, Dave, obviously, you know that the grid is highly unreliable at the moment. And there's so many factors that are attributing that. You know, at the beginning of the year, so in January, we did a little exercise as between my ward committee and members of the community just to quantify the number of days in terms of power outages that we'd experienced, not just in my ward, but part of the southern network. So let's say from the Zimbali, kind of from like the Tongat River, so Zimbali, all the way to Tinley Manor. And we'd quantified it to 81 days. So 81 days of power outages over a 90-day period.
Okay.
I mean, that you can't quantify in terms of rands and cents for the loss to the local economy.
Is anyone in council, apart from yourself, worried about this?
Dave, I'll tell you what we as the DA have done in terms of intervention. But to be quite frank, I don't think anyone actually cares. Anyone other than the opposition.
Because that's pretty much the impression that I'm getting. And why is that?
Dave, you are spot on. So you will know that a new mayor was elected on the 5th of November last year, and he then embarked on his 100 days in office, but it was a ceremonial 100 days. He did 100 days of handshakes. He went around to schools and churches whilst the local economy was at its knees during a tourist season. I subsequently wrote to the mayor multiple times asking for intervention, asking for him to come and address the community, and that didn't unfold. He was very selective in terms of who he addressed. Eventually, a task team outside of council, so council were not informed about the composition of a task team, but that was eventually formed. We then, as the official opposition in council, wrote to the municipal manager, the CFO, the head of electricity, and the deputy mayor, who actually is a chairperson of infrastructure. The deputy mayor, true to his word, then had an engagement with me. We had a sit-down engagement, and one of the things that I did propose was in the run-up to the adjustment budget, which comes to council at the end of Feb, was I asked for a reprioritization of a part of the budget to stabilize what was happening on the south. Eventually, it did come to council, and there was 14 million rand allocated to that. So 14 million rand for the rest of this financial year. But there's definitely a disconnect in that the electricity network is not being prioritized. The stabilization of it is not being prioritized. And catalytic projects like the Duguza substation, which you have been keeping a close eye on, it simply isn't being fast-tracked, and that is highly problematic. I think it boils down to multiple factors, but I'm going to be very candid about the one factor, and that is a lack of bold leadership in our council. So in a nutshell, that is some of the factors that are contributing towards the electricity crisis.
What my sources have told me, because I wanted to know what started the problem. I mean, we had good electricity for a while, you know, for many years.
Fair electricity.
We had the odd tripping and the odd failure, but that was always very swiftly attended to. And we had redundancy. In other words, if there was a problem somewhere, you could reroute and connect.
Sure.
And lights wouldn't be off for very long. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly there was no more redundancy. All of a sudden, out of the blue, and not only that, there was an overload which caused all the weaknesses in the grid to expose themselves in the most appropriate manner, which is just darkness. And digging a little deeper, it would appear that there was quite a lot of power diverted from the southern grid to the northern grid to make way for a large development on the Tindi Manor Lagoon. Hmm. And then, once the problems became manifest and everyone was hopping and screaming, they tried to reverse the situation to stabilize it. But by then, everything had become unstable because, you know, old connections, old gear that had been now damaged was weakened, and cables that were damaged and patched too many times have to be replaced. And it seemed to be a problem that was caused by cavalier reassignment of power to attract a multi-billion rand development. And then, oops, we've made a mistake, turn it around too late. It seems like an absolute comedy of errors, and I say seems like an alleged because I haven't actually seen the documentation, but no one has. Another thing I've heard is that there's a specific document that is absolutely essential for a municipality to present to Eskom before they're allowed to distribute electricity. And this is, let's just call it a master plan of the grid. It has a specific name. I know that it does, but I can't put my finger on it right now. That master plan does not exist. Hmm. I can say that categorically. I've had confirmation of that from several sources. The only people that knew where roughly the old lines were have now been put out to pasture. No names, no pactoral. There's one remaining member of the convocation at Guadaguza Municipality that has an idea of how these things interconnect, and he's completely under-resourced. But as we sit and discuss this situation, it would appear that Guadaguza Municipality does not have that essential document and therefore is operating technically illegally, electricity-wise. Now, that's my information, and as I say, it's alleged because I am not party to, although I have invited the mayor for a conversation on this platform, as he accepted and then just didn't pitch, along with various other players. I think you're aware of that.
Yeah.
So you are closer to the situation. How accurate is that summary?
So Dave, it's hard to delve into the space of allegations in a public domain.
But have you heard of those allegations?
So the electricity master plan or the framework, it's not necessarily an allegation, but I know that one of the leading ratepayer bodies have lodged a complaint to NERSA specifically about that. What the outcome of that will be is yet to be determined. And the other allegation just around the rerouting or the shift of supply from the southern network to the northern, specifically for a big billion rand development, I think there's inconsistencies to that, and I'll tell you why. Because that specific development is still on the southern network, so it wouldn't require such a significant shift of resources, and that development would not have been approved without the processes having unfolded in terms of reliability of supply for such a high-profile development. Secondly, that development is still very much in construction phase, so they're not operational. So their requirement for supply is still very, very minimal. I mean, I sit on the steering committee of that specific project. So right now I understand what their needs are. So I also don't want to delve into that space of allegations specifically around that, but I'm happy to test it. So I'm happy to go out and seek credible information and come back.
See, this is the thing. I don't think there is much information, much credible information, because we're asking the right questions, but we're getting no answers. So then it becomes the domain of speculation and rumor and allegation. And of course, in light of no concrete information coming from the source, this is a feeding ground of malcontent. And it's not acceptable. It's not ideal. Luckily, you are here with fact and fair comment as far as you can, which is really good. There are other issues. There are water issues currently that are beginning to loom, and we are concerned about that. There is an election coming up, and we are concerned about that, because it would appear that the personas dramatae of this charade are beginning to shuffle in terms of realignment. And I have heard a rumor, and you can now verify whether it might be a scandalous one. Shame, your one headphone is twisted, so you can only hear me with one ear.
I know, it feels very
Maybe
uncomfortable.
Maybe the king will be able to hop in there and help you. But while he's helping you, let me explain what I've heard. I have heard that there are numerous councillors that are about to shift their allegiance to another political party. No names, no pactoral. But the plan seems to be in Guaduguza to... Thank you very much for sorting out that headphone.
Thank
now
you.
We can hear with both ears.
Oh,
the plan seems to be that the game is afoot for the next election to sweep the boards and to install a new political player, which may not be much better... And I'm using all these euphemisms because it would appear that there's definitely a concerted effort in that direction. Have you heard that rumors?
Dave, I think if you look at how the political space in Guaduguza is already playing itself out. So there's a very big by-election that is happening in Guaduguza now on the 2nd of April. And that is a direct result of an ANC councillor resigning and now standing in his ward under the banner of MK. So whether that's the way it is going to go or not is yet to be determined. But what I can say for us as currently the official opposition in Guaduguza is, you know, last year we had a very big national and provincial election. And here in KZN, the DA did everything that we could to keep the EFF and MK out of the provincial legislature, and that is how the government of provincial unity was formed. And I can say that here in Guaduguza, we have already started campaigning on the ground. Our residents are already seeing the shift in terms of what the DA can do from a governance perspective, even though we are not in government in Guaduguza. The most recent one, and you've got the correspondence, the Section 106 investigation in Guaduguza is as a result of concerted efforts by the official opposition. So what I can say is, however the political terrain goes in terms of the one party that are currently leading Guaduguza through a very strategic stitched up alliance with two single seat parties, or the ones that need to be kept out because they are populist, we as a DA are going to do everything in our power to either enter into a very, very strong, stable coalition government in 2026, local government elections like you mentioned, or be the leading party in Guaduguza, and that is a reality.
Okay, so there was once an opportunity for the DA to form a coalition with everyone and oust the current incumbents, And that was scuppered because of a policy decision where you wouldn't talk to a certain political party and wouldn't allow anyone else to, and that political party being essential to the majority that was going to be or required to change the decks. What's changed?
Dave, you know the one thing I love about you is that we rehash the same conversation. So this is the third time talking about... Dave, I think a number of things have changed. The first one is that one specific political party that we would not engage with, they have significantly weakened. The second thing is we are approaching another local government election. If you look at the trend of the Democratic Alliance in the 2024 national and provincial election, and our stats here in Quadraguza, if it was a local government election, we would have ended up with 8 wards, which means that we would have ended up with at least 16 or 17 seats in council because of proportional representation, which means that we would have been in a position to negotiate again for a stable coalition. The reason we couldn't do, and I'm going back to 2022, which is what you are referring to, the reason we couldn't enter into a coalition arrangement at the time was firstly, specifically around policy with the one political party, and we both know which party we're talking about. But secondly, it was the instability of that coalition because of that one political party. And you've seen how coalitions with that party have played out nationally. I mean, when I was here last, we even spoke about, I think we spoke about Ekurhuleni and how that whole thing unfolded with the EFF.
But not talking to specifics, I'm really getting to the question, I suppose, is have you or has the Democratic Alliance become more pragmatic over the issues of coalition?
Dave, I think we mustn't shift away from policy and we mustn't shift away from political parties retaining their identities. And that's what the DA will always be. Coalition arrangements and coalition discussions will only be determined after the early 2027, actually, elections.
But there is a more pragmatic approach now.
I think the point I'm trying to make is that the DA have definitely strengthened in Quadraguza in order to ensure that we will be in a significantly better position to negotiate either coalitions or possibly even be the leading party in Quadraguza. And I think I'm always hopeful. Every time I come onto the show, I'm always hopeful. And I say that when we are in government in Quadraguza, because I believe that's going to happen. And I think with everything that's currently happening in council, all these shenanigans, the opposition are the people that are putting it out there. Our constituents and the media are informed as a result of everything that the opposition is bringing out into the public domain. And that must never, ever be diluted. The role of a strong opposition who could potentially be the... We actually are the government in waiting in Quadraguza.
Well, there's a bold statement and more strength to your bow, because I believe that you would do a really good job. We too are cautiously, well, shall we say cautiously optimistic. It's a lovely way to look at things. But and I must again congratulate you and your fellow councillors for the information that has been forthcoming constantly. It's a breath of fresh air and clearly a sign of, hopefully, the re-emergence of a new dawn, you know, because, well, we've been hearing from various sources. I don't know whether you follow the Biz News conversations with France Cronier, etc. And there are all sorts of winds of change blowing, some of them good, some of them bad, but the potential... Even if everything unbundles, the potential for a rapid turnaround, because of the fact that we have such a wonderfully diverse and at, I hate the term grassroots level, but this is where we're at, people in South Africa, generally speaking, all want the same thing. We want a better future.
Absolutely.
We want a better, and we like each other. You know, this is a good thing.
By and large.
Generally speaking, it's, you know, if it, the politicians are the ones driving wedges between people on ethnic and social and all sorts of other bases.
Some politicians.
Well, you know, I mean, politics, generally speaking, is a strange business. You know more about it than I think most. But on generally speaking, the fundamentals in South Africa are still considerably better than they could be. Obviously, never as good as they should be. But we still have potential as a nation to rise from this malaise and to create a much better future. And with good people in leadership, this is where our hopes and our aspirations lie. So thank you so much for popping in. Is there anything else that you need to leave us with before we say cheers for this time?
I think I'll leave it here, Dave, because it gives me an opportunity to come back onto your show. So thank you very much for this. Mm.
There's always the rebound is always a good opportunity to reconnect. Our very special guest, Privi Makan. She is the ward councillor for Ward 22 and doing a fabulous job. We look forward to the next one.
Thank you, Dave.
And the show continues.